Coming to you live from our mom's basement, this is the Bears Blog Boys Podcast. I'm your co-host, Tom Cavanaugh, here with my good buddy and other co-host, Michael Snyder. Snyder, I have like barely slept in the last 24, 48 hours. It has been a grind. Obviously, night one of the draft happens, and then we got to wake up and recap it right away. We're currently recording at like 6 o'clock. We woke up at like 5. But Snyder, man, huge, huge draft for the Bears. Kind of went exactly how we wanted it to. How are you feeling off such an exciting night?
Dude, fired up. Never been so excited about a Bears draft. I mean, this is the first time we had two, you know, round one picks since 2003, and we botched that one pretty badly. but it's just everything that led up to this, right? The trade that has net us, you know, DJ Moore, Tyreek Stevenson, Darnell Wright, and, you know, now Caleb Williams. It was just a masterpiece put together unlike the NFL has ever seen before, right? And for the first time, and it seems like, you know, my lifetime as a Chicago Bears fan, that history is on the right side for the Chicago Bears. And for the first time, it feels like, you know, we broke history. We went offense, you know, on a city that's, you know, just beloved for defense, monster of the midway. And I think we really broke a cycle. And I think this draft class will be remembered as just like a monumental moment on what the future is going to be.
I totally agree. I mean, this is the building block. Like, this is like, I feel like not the finishing pieces, because, you know, I don't think the Bears are done by any means of like building a championship caliber roster. But like, in terms of the next decade, I feel like these two pieces specifically are going to be the building blocks. Like, you have your pass catcher, your quarterback, obviously, but your pass catcher to go along with that. Like, when I think of, you know, the greatest quarterbacks to ever do it, they always had that guy with them throughout that journey. Like, when I think of Tom Brady, it was some version of Gronk or Rain. I'm not saying Rombo Duse is going to be this, but, you know, Patrick Mahomes with Kelsey and Tyreek Hill. Even Joe Burrow, when he was with Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, like there's always combinations. I think the blueprint of that was Bill Polian at first with Peyton Manning, Reggie Wayne, Marvin Harrison. Like, throughout time, when those guys are successful, like, they always have those guys they can rely on as pass catchers. And that's why I'm really glad we'll talk about Caleb, obviously, but that's why I'm really glad the Bears went the direction they did at 9. They didn't shy away from the wide receiver because they had two very good ones already with DJ Moore and Keenan Allen, making that move for Keenan Allen. They realized that the draft is about the future and you're investing in the future as well as you're investing right now. And Keenan Allen, you know, only 32 years old, not going to be here for the long haul. Whereas Rome Odunze was one of the best players on the board, and Snyder is going to be with Caleb Williams for the foreseeable future. I mean, hopefully for Caleb Williams' entire career in Chicago.
Right, Tom. I mean, how relieved do you feel that about your general manager that he made the right move, right?
Right.
Everything tells you he made the right move. There's tons of data, tons of logic to go behind that and support it. The thing is, like, you know, as we speak, I'm not trying to be down, but just as we speak, do the Bears have an ideal, you know, defensive tackle room? Do they have an ideal edge two? Do they have an ideal, you know, left tackle center? No, they don't. Okay. But the mindset is when you draft a Caleb and you have this trio of, you know, pass catchers, what on paper looks to be, you know, the best unit in the NFL potentially. And I'm saying potentially because they haven't done it yet. But then, you know, you look at even Cole Kmet, and, you know, you look at an intriguing offensive line. You made investments at the running back position. And you have Caleb Williams. You're looking at that core, and you're saying, hey, let this, you know, superstar number one pick quarterback enter a phenomenal offensive situation, and it'll make up for, you know, the not ideal positions that I mentioned because they're, you know, they're putting up so many, you know, offensive numbers in which we hope that, you know, you could last a year of having, you know, not an ideal position there. And then, you know, you're looking into, you know, the draft next year with your full arsenal of picks, still a ton of cap space. But I'm just so relieved, Tom, that this regime and the Chicago Bears team prioritize offense, even when having, you know, those position holes. Like, they're realizing, like, okay, let me build the offense first. Let me prioritize helping my quarterback and letting him, putting him in a great position in day one. So I'm just relieved that that was the mindset, and all my points behind it, I'm just relieved to see that that's the, you know, logic with our regime now.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think, like, the process and the just the overall principle of the Romo Odunze pick is exactly what you said. You're investing in your offense. You're investing to help your quarterback. Like, all of those things are a great sign showing that your GM understands how to successfully build a team. And center too, maybe we doubted Poles a little bit too much. This is exactly what they did with Patrick Mahomes. They had Kelce and Tyreek Hill, and they still splurged for Sammy Watkins, right? Which, you know, people might not think that was a big move, but in the first Super Bowl they won, it was a huge move, right? They took away Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce for a lot of that game, and Sammy Watkins was really the guy who had a big playoff, that whole entire playoff series. It was really through him. Like, they made a lot of their offense and their explosive plays through him. And if you have that many options in the passing game, I think that is, like you said, just really helping out your quarterback overcompensate for some of the shortcomings on your roster. So, yeah, like you said, the roster is still not perfect by any means. But the most important part was that Ryan Poles took the pathway of helping Caleb Williams now and the future, in my opinion, the most by taking Romo Odunze. In terms of the player, Snyder, I think he's a great fit. Like, he's a perfect fit. I think this allows you to kind of move DJ Moore around more, and you can kind of make him not solely a vertical receiver, but you can make him more of a vertical receiver now. As your Z, you can play him off the line of scrimmage. You can get him in motion and because he's so explosive and everything like that. Whereas now Rome can be your true X receiver. He's the guy you can line up on outside, win against isolation coverage. Like, he can also win down the field, but more so, like, he wins with, like, late separation and ball winning and stuff like that. He's more of a possession under, like, he can also be more of a possession underneath type of target, whereas Keenan Allen can just be a true slot. Like, I think the dynamics of the receiving core are very interchangeable with Rome and DJ Moore because they both can do so much. But what I really love about it is it just allows Keenan Allen to play in the slot like they draft or that like they traded him to play in.
Yeah, I mean, look at the player, Tom. I mean, this last season had, you know, an 89.5 receiving grade, 2.93 yards per route run, 89.5 grade against man coverage, a 75% contested catch rate, which tells me, you know, he just dominated, you know, corners at attacking the ball. Kind of like, this is a really well-rounded dude. You just dropped the video. Kind of your comparison was DeAndre Hopkins. And the guy, I remember seeing videos that you posted on Twitter, like, this dude is fluid off the line of scrimmage. I mean, Tom, you look at Romo Odunze, DJ Moore, Keenan Allen. I mean, they seem like all, like, just technicians off the line of scrimmage and with their route running, Tom. I mean, it is an ideal situation for Caleb. It's like the situation that the Texans put CJ Stroud in, you know, with Nico Collins, Tank Dell, Stephon Diggs in year two. Ryan Poles and the Bears are doing that, you know, for Caleb immediately.
Yeah, and it's a really cool sight to see, Snyder, because as Bears fans, we're not used to this stuff. Like, we're used to them leaning on the three tech or linebacker, you know what I mean? Like, right. That's kind of the positions they valued for the last couple of years. They've kind of lived in the twilight of the 85 Bears, and we've wanted that to change. We've wanted them to prioritize offense. We've wanted them to be a more offensive team, which they've kind of failed to do since a very long time, right? And that is why this pick was so meaningful to us and why kind of we wanted them to go this direction. But yes, Snyder, in terms of Romo Odunze, I do see a lot of DeAndre Hopkins in his game. I think what really stood out to me, the similarities, is that the late separation down the field, late into routes, like just that subtleness to kind of just shield defenders off down the field and create separation at the last moment with late hands. Like, I think both of them do that incredibly well. And that's why it really stood out to me on Rome's tape. And like, I feel like the whole aesthetic too is very similar. Like, they both wear the long sleeves. Like, I don't know. It's something about the, how they move. They're kind of like, they look like they're almost like not trying at times because it's so easy to them and they're still so dominant. And that's why I think it, like, just like eye test wise, it looked very similar to me, but I also think they're very similar ways. And what I love about Rome too is, like, I said, he can be the X. He can also line up in the slot. Like, it really stood out to me, I think, against in both Oregon games, more so in the conference championship game, they're like putting him in motion and allowing him to run option routes out of the slot. And he's just cooking people. Like, in that's for a 6'3", 215 pounder, which is very, very impressive in my opinion.
Yeah, Tom, there's one narrative that I need to silence about Shane Waldron and his love for 12 personnel. Back a month ago, I tweeted, you know, Seahawks wide receivers and their tight end snaps last season under Shane Waldron. You know, Lockett led the pack with, you know, 834, Metcalf at 826. And then, believe it or not, you know, JSN was the next guy with still 672 snaps. So, yeah, well, you know, DJ Moore and Keenan Allen might be your alphas there. But even if everyone's healthy, Rome is still going to be a heavy, heavy contributor in the snap count, right? Because then you talk look at their tight ends, Noah Fant, 570, Parkinson, 494. I mean, you're still, you know, ton of three wide receiver sets there, to me, it looked like.
Yeah, and, you know, people – I mean, Shane Waldron did run a little bit more 12 personnel than I think he has historically, but, like, people forget, like, their first-round pick was a wide receiver, like, they mm-hmm. when they already had two, you know. So I think it's a very similar situation. It's honestly, like, the exact same situation, in my opinion. Even though Rome Odunze and Jackson Smith and Jigba are different players, I think the situation is very similar. Center, I could tell you – hold on, I'm looking it up right now – just how much 12 personnel they ran. But I think a lot of that came down to their injuries at offensive tackle. They kind of wanted to, like, fake run a ton and pass out of it so they can kind of keep defenses on their toes instead of, like, having them pinned back against some backup tackles. But, yeah, I think that's a very good narrative to bash because it's not really a true one in my opinion. I'm just looking at their formations right now. I don't know if – Scout has this, but yeah, it's kind of broken up into their down and distance and personnel usage. They don't have overall personnel usage, but I did know that they were one of the highest teams in 12 personnel, but I thought that was more situationally than something they, like, kind of want to live in. But that's the nice thing about this Bears offense and the skill position player center is, like, they have the talent to kind of do whatever they want. They can live in 11 personnel with the three stud receivers that they have, or they can get Gerald Everett on the field, who complements Cole Kmet really well. Like, they have a nice arsenal of different players that they can throw a lot at defenses, which I know was a big thing for Shane Waldron throughout his time at Seattle.
Yeah, I mean, it's a versatile, very, very deep group. I mean, my biggest concern, Tom, not going wide receiver was, you know, in case of a DJ Moore, Keenan Allen injury, that, you know, Tyler Scott would be, you know, your next man up getting a ton of snaps. And this isn't a shot at Tyler Scott. I think there's, you know, a lot of game there, a lot that can be developed, but ideally he was your wide receiver four going into this season to where, you know, he's not your top depth dude. And now you feel just a hell of a lot better in case of an injury and about the room as a whole. I mean, Tyler Scott is your wide receiver four, I think is a you know, again, an ideal situation. It kind of goes to the quarterback room for the Bears to where you have, you know, your top three dudes, and then Terrell Smith is your CB4, right? You feel ideal about that. Now I could say that about both of the rooms. And I think that's, you know, just an ideal way to build the wide receiver room.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think you're in trouble as Tyler Scott with your wide receiver three, let alone someone gets hurt and he has to come in. Yeah, and that's, again, that's another thing I love about Rome is, like, I was a little worried about the lack of, like, I love Keenan Allen, don't get me wrong, but, like, DJ Moore was really your only field stretcher. Obviously, Tyler Scott could do that occasionally because that's kind of his game. But, like, again, like you don't want to rely on a fourth rounder if you don't have to. And that's the thing with Rome. Rome might not be a blazer by any means, even though I do think he plays plenty fast, but he still can win down the, like we've seen, like he, you, like you said, you point out the contested catches. He led all college football with 20 yard plus receptions. Like there, he wins down the field. Like he knows how to win down the field. So now the Bears can like attack you from all angles, and they, all of the, this, these receiving core does something really well. Like DJ Moore, I think, does a lot well, but of these receivers, I think he's the best at yak of Keenan Allen and Rome. Whereas Rome is like your best possession receiver on the outside, and Keenan Allen is just a slot demon. So I'm raving about it, Snyder. I cannot get enough of this receiving core. It has the makings to be the best trio in the NFL, in my opinion.
Yeah, dude. I mean, it is super dynamic, man. Like you said, man, you have that slot technician who is just, you know, Keenan Allen, whose game is, you know, has never been off athleticism and speed, but he's so quick off the line of scrimmage that he's still playing so fast where his game is aging like fine wine, right? DJ Moore is your, you know, jack of all trades, wide receiver one. And like you said, Adunze, you know, could do all, you know, a little bit of all that too. And, you know, with the elite ball skills, it's just a group that really complement each other really well.
It really is. But Snyder, I think it is time to turn our attention towards the number one overall pick, who, while it wasn't a surprise at this point in the draft who they're going to take, it is very important to discuss how, in fact, the Bears got here. Over the past 2 years, Snyder, we've watched some terrible football, whether that was the Bears or, you know, staying up on a Thursday night, a Saturday night to watch, you know, the Patriots beat the Steelers and a close one where Trubisky kind of sold the Steelers and gave the Patriots another win to drop them down the draft board, or the Patriots squeaking out a win over the Broncos, or the Cardinals beating the Eagles at a random, you know, week 16 game. There's been so many games like that last year and even the year before where it's led to this moment. It's led to the Bears getting the number one overall pick for 2 years in a row. It's a really crazy journey to kind of reflect back on. And it's one of the most, it's going to go down, hopefully, right, if everything works as intended, which I think it's going to, because I'm very confident in Caleb Williams. It's going to be one of the craziest things to ever, for this to ever amount from. And when I saw Caleb Williams walk out with the Bears jersey, the number one, obviously he chose number 18, but the number one Bears jersey, he's holding it up with Roger Goodell. It just was a really surreal moment. Like, you never thought this was ever going to be in the cards for them because of they built behind Justin Fields last year. Like, they went all in on him. And it was just a very, very strange occurrence. They got the number one overall pick 2 years in a row, especially with, like, a quote-unquote once-in-a-lifetime prospect in Caleb Williams.
Yeah, for the first time in, like, you know, my – exists as the Bears fan, that we're on the right side of history. I mean, mm-hmm. Tom, I mean, I look last year going into the season, I looked at the division that the Panthers are in, you know, with the Falcons, Saints, Bucks, and everything. And I'm like, I'm so unsure about the division. Like, the Panthers go anywhere from bottom of the division to top in the division. And not because I thought the Panthers were going to be good, it was more of an indictment on the division as a whole. So I'm like, yeah, I don't know how this is going to go. But think about it, Tom. Let's say, you know, they were just middle of the pack, right, in that division. You're talking about, you know, forcing yourself with Justin Fields. And the outlook is just totally different, Tom. So, like, for it to just magically work out in our favor like that, it just, you know, again, it couldn't be more surreal that it finally worked out in our favor.
Yeah, I mean, luck was definitely on Ryan Poles' side. No, there's no doubt about it. Like, you had to get lucky for this to happen. I mean, there were so many instances where it was in the balance, and it obviously pulled through, and the Bears, like you said, they were on the right side of history. In terms of Caleb Williams, the player, we've talked about him ad nauseum, so, and I'm sure we will. Like, I think we're going to get more into the specifics about how he fits Shane Waldron's offense, like what we kind of envisioned the Bears' offense going to be. There's obviously still a lot of the draft to happen. The Bears still have to pick twice. And we'll talk about some of the players that are possibly that they could get at pick 75. But I've been watching just Caleb Williams throughout this time, and it's just there's just so much to like. I think that he's so perfect for what you're looking for in a quarterback. So Snyder, yeah, I've been watching Caleb Williams just like throughout the process. Like I really just like haven't stopped. And I think what the biggest takeaway for me and what's so exciting about him and why he's regarded the way he's regarded is his movement in the pocket, I think is even under like he gets a lot of credit, but I think it's even underrated from a lot of people. Like something maybe I didn't appreciate enough because a lot of people look at creation as the crazy scrambles, the throws across their bodies, like the broken play types, but like just the ability to stay disciplined within the pocket and actually not like kind of like break out of the structure of the play, but just to buy an extra second of time to go to the deeper option down the field is something Caleb Williams does extremely well. I mean, that feel in the pocket, you just cannot coach. He's so aware, spatially aware of the space around him, and he's able to create these pretty good platforms to throw for him from just subtly moving and sliding in the pocket. And I'm not trying to bring this back to Justin Fields, but that was something that drove me crazy about Justin Fields because when he was altered by pressure, he was scrambling. He was running out of there. He was not standing within the structure of the play. The play broke down, and it was just hard to consistently drive in, drive out, live that way. When watching Caleb Williams, that is not the case. And even I'll take that a step further is like, Caleb Williams will stand in there and deliver throws in the face of pressure, which again was not really Justin Fields' MO. So I think all of those traits, along with the insane arm talent, the accuracy, the processing, but those traits is what you get really excited about, what the youngest quarter, what the best young quarterbacks are doing right now, being able to buy themselves time with their pocket presence.
Yeah, no, I love that, Tom. I mean, you talk about Caleb Williams and his game, within the pocket. I mean, do you think that some of the play of what could be like with Braxton Jones or just in general, Tom, does that elevate or does it put a little bit more pressure on the offensive line?
Yeah, I think they'll definitely won't have to drop as far back in the pocket, the offensive lineman. Like you could tell, like that was a frustrating element of them having Justin Fields kind of like pirouette out of things and stuff like that. I think Caleb is way more prone of like stepping up and staying within it. So I think from those regards, in terms of just like his movement in the pocket, will help the offensive line. In an ideal world, like you would like to see Caleb get rid of the ball maybe a little faster. I'm not saying it's as big of an issue. There's plenty of instances of him doing it, but I think Daniel Jeremiah said it perfectly on the for whichever broadcast you watched last year. He said last year he kind of got bored with completions, like the shallow crosses, coming open just 5 to 10 yards, like just taking those. You're gonna have to take those a lot more in the NFL. And also, Snyder, I think it's fair to point out that Caleb Williams was playing down in almost every game. I mean, it was like his defense was terrible. They're like the 123rd ranked scoring defense. So, of course, he felt like he needed to hit a lot of home runs to stay in games. And he did, honestly. Like, he kept them in a lot of games. I don't, in 2022, I thought you saw when the roster and talent was a lot better, he was taking those completions. He wasn't getting bored. Like, he operated from within structure. A lot more on time, even though we did it in 23. I'm just saying the kind of balance you wanted to see, I thought you saw in 22 when the game script was a lot more neutral.
Yeah, I'm with you there, Tom. I mean, I don't even want to get into that debate, Tom, but like, there were just so many criticisms of Caleb's tape in 23 that you forget your priors when he had the Blitnikoff winner with Jordan Addison, a way better roster that allowed him to play a lot quicker and to produce, I mean, it produced him into a Heisman Trophy winner. And it's, again, I keep saying the same thing. It's just like the situation that we're entering this quarterback is definitely the greatest situation a number one pick quarterback has ever entered an NFL career.
Yeah, it definitely is. And we're going to talk more about like the future and what it holds for Caleb Williams and what the Bears need to do to kind of make this all come together. But They obviously took the right step in drafting Rome Odunze yesterday and investing right back into Caleb Williams, their greatest investment at the quarterback position I think they've ever made. But that's really going to be the thing with them, like throughout this time, like making sure they have enough around Caleb and just on offense in general, making sure they're making the right roster decisions and right coaching decisions. Like, we can't forget. I don't want to, like, you know, again, I don't want to be negative Nancy in everyone's ears, but like everyone wanted Matt Eberflus out the door. And I feel like since he was brought back, it's kind of been swept under the rug. Like, oh, he's just here for the long haul. Like, no, like everyone had their doubts. And like, I don't think a lot of those changed necessarily. They brought in Shane Waldron, obviously. And that did ease some people, but you know, you still got to, like you said, Snyder, like we did with Justin Fields, you still got to hold everything that we were holding under a microscope, being critical when there's reasons to be critical. And obviously no one's perfect, but like, you just got to make sure that we're not swept too up in the hype and we're actually evaluating things for what they are.
Right. That's the thing, Tom. I think there's some situations that can play out, right? If the Bears don't improve their record, you know, Eberflus could be as good as gone. But at the same time, what's really, I think, I'm talking about this a little early, the most important thing about the Bears season next year is Caleb Williams, right? And how the offense looks, right? So if there's a situation where, okay, hey, maybe the Bears only win six games, but then you see Caleb Williams for 4,000, you know, 30 touchdowns in the offense, clicking, but then you see a lot of, like, you know, kind of maybe bad coaching decisions, losing a lot of one score games, that falls on, you know, the head coach. And maybe there's a path to where, you know, if the offense clicks like that, you promote Shane Waldron to head coach and you don't, you know, repeat the cycle of, you know, having, you know, your rookie quarterback learn a new offense in year two. I think that's the biggest nightmare situation that worries a lot of fans. We don't want to see the same thing happen to Caleb that happened to Trubisky and Fields.
100%. And that's what we're going to have to address those like concerns down the road, because would I have made the decision to keep you full set that they didn't? No, I wouldn't. Like, I wouldn't try to thread that needle. I wouldn't try to be super like, you have to be competitive this year, which I don't think, I think that's a fan expectation. I don't think that's a ownership expectation. Like, if the team improvement, like if there's still a bunch of improvement on offense, the defense kind of stays the same. I think Eberflus, whether he makes the playoffs or not, will probably be back. It's definitely something to monitor. Snyder, we can't go on forever because it is early in the morning. We do have to get to our work lives, but I think it is worth mentioning some of the players that are available in day two. And I know the Bears aren't picking till pick 75, but there's one player specifically for me, Snyder, that I would be aggressively pursuing a trade up right now. And I don't know the medicals. I think that's why he fell. I know he has a foot problem, but Johnny Newton, the defensive tackle from Illinois, I cannot believe he fell out of the first round. He was like a top 15 player for me. His tape is incredible. He just dominates, like rep in, rep out. He's so advanced with his hands. And he's exactly what the doctor ordered for the Bears. I know we just said invest in offense and whatnot, but if they can move up and get a true difference-making pass rusher like a Johnny Newton, I wouldn't care about the cost, honestly. Like, I'm just doing that. And if you walk out of this draft with Caleb Williams, Rome Odunze, and Johnny Newton, even though I'd be ecstatic with the two that they already got, but, like, if that was your haul, dude, I couldn't say anything about Ryan Poles until next year.
Yeah, oh, Tom, I would aggressively pursue that trade. I'd far as trading 75, 123, and I would trade our own round two next year to trade up for Johnny Newton, Tom. I mean, you're looking at a defensive line with Montez Sweat, Jervon Dexter, Johnny Newton, and then you look, you know, next year to figure out, you know, your edge two there, and you're talking about just such a well-rounded team, Tom. I mean, I would aggressively do it. And thing, you know, there's like this. Prior to, like, you know, this offseason, it was like Poles strictly built with the draft. But I think Ryan Poles has shown, like, a perfect balance of let me be aggressive and let me be calculated, right? Like, he still did trade, you know, a round two pick for Chase Claypool, a round two pick for Montez Sweat. Both moves that I did support. Okay, yeah, be aggressive, get premium positions. It only costs you a round two pick. You still have your round one pick. Like, I love the process behind that, right? But that's not, you know, solely building through the draft. So I think this is a scenario where you can kind of, hey, you got your quarterback at one. You didn't have to trade up for one of the big three wide receivers that played perfectly in your favor, to where you're just able to stick at nine. You still have all your capital. Maybe here it could be a little bit moderately aggressive, and it's not like a, I'm not asking you to trade, you know, your round one pick next year. I'm just, you know, you have extra capital. Now let's take that balanced approach of, you know, being, you know, a little bit aggressive.
Yeah, and again, so this goes back to like, there's I truly don't understand why Jerzon Newton fell, other than medicals. And even with medicals, again, I don't really know the extent of it. I think he suffered a Lisfranc injury, and teams are always kind of concerned with that with bigger guys. But yeah, I agree with you in terms of being aggressive. But this isn't like being aggressive for like a developmental guy like Gervin Dexter or Zach Pickens. Like, no, Jerzon Newton is like a surefire stud. Like, I just quote tweeted a clip that I recommend everyone watch. It's like 2 minutes of Jerzon Newton just whooping ass. Like, he is so good with his hands, so nuanced as a pass rusher. His feel to beat blocks was better than Byron Murphy's, in my opinion. Like, and just in that regard of pass rushing, way more advanced, not way more advanced than Byron Murphy, who went 16 overall. So this is not a guy you're betting on developing. Like, he's already developed. He's polished. Like, that, he's exactly what the Bears need. And you know, I think people point to edge being their biggest need, Snyder, right now. You can kind of kiss that dream goodbye. The edge is available now. You're just not, I don't think you're gonna really get a surefire stud. Maybe I'm wrong, but we've seen the track record with the guys outside of the first round, with the guys outside of like the top 20. It's not a great hit rate. And I would way rather, you know, take a position that's quote unquote less of a need with a difference-making player than to reach on like a Marshawn Nealon and hope he develops. Like, I just couldn't really get behind that.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's some intriguing options. You know, if you just stay there at 75 or take a fuck in round four. And my thing is that, like, the fact that, you know, I'm banking on, you know, this very much improved offense, that I could live 1 year with a DeMarcus Walker, Jacob Martin, you know, edge rotation. Is it ideal? No. But like I said earlier in the pod, that you have an offense and you have, you know, your back seven that could, you know, make up for that. Then you're looking, you know, next year with, you know, your, you know, round one pick and you're projected, you know, 80 plus million in cap space.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Center. And that's the thing. Like, I don't care that they, you know, didn't choose an edge or defensive lineman at nine. Like, again, like you said, I can live with that, with it being the way it is. But if you come in and bring in a Johnny Newton into the mix, I mean, I think your defensive line looks a whole hell of a lot better. Your rotation as your on your interior is a lot stronger. I mean, a pass rushing front of Montez Sweat, Johnny Newton, kicking DeMarcus Walker inside, or Gervin Dexter, you know, kind of rotating those two guys, and Jacob Martin as your kind of situational pass rusher. Like, that is a very much revised group with the addition of one player, which I would just be fired up about. Okay, Center, we talked enough about Johnny Newton because that is who I would like them to add, but in terms of other players, I mentioned Marshawn Nealon. I think they're really gonna like Marshawn Nealon. He is the Eberflus type, very athletic, still kind of raw, very physical, edge setting, like run defending, power rusher that I can see them really, really liking. Chris Braswell, I don't know if they'll like him as much. Kind of an undersized guy. Don't really see it. Jackson Powers Johnson, though, center has been. Since Poles has been here, center has been talked about as a huge need. I don't know if they'll be in range to get him. They'd have to trade up as well, in my opinion. And at that point, if I'm trading up, I'm looking to do it at the best player on the board. And that, in my opinion, would be Johnny Newton. But I don't know. Would you be interested in a trade up for like a Jackson Bowers Johnson?
Yeah, I would get behind it, Tom. Like, I, again, it's one of those things where it's like, How aggressive do you call it trading, a future round two, right? For, a trade up here for a round two pick. So where is it the end of the world if it doesn't hit? No, you're not losing a round one pick. Like, that's a bad thing, right? That's a Ryan Pace trading, two round one picks for Khalil Mack, or that type of thing, where I'm not asking you to be that aggressive. I'm asking you to be moderately aggressive to where if it works, cool. You're in a place where your team, is ready to compete. You built that foundation, right? You don't need to stack the picks. Ryan Poles even said that it's hard to make, this team. I don't need to stack a ton of picks. And this is the one where you can be aggressive and okay, if it, you lose your round two pick next year and 75 this year, it's the right move. It's not gonna make or break you.
Yeah, I agree. I wouldn't be. I just watched Jackson Powers Johnson. I do like him. I do think he's kind of raw. He was a lot more raw than I initially thought, or like that I initially heard. But like, I mean, the physical talent is unmatched. Like, he is a very, very talented player, and you just don't see centers that big. And I could see them liking him for that reason. I mean, he does give me kind of Creed Humphrey vibes in terms of the profile of a player. He's not wasn't nearly as good as Creed Humphrey. Creed Humphrey, the center for the Chiefs. A guy probably Ryan Poles had a lot to do with drafting. I could see them being high on him for those reasons. And yeah, I would never be mad at investing in the offensive line. But man, I just my preference would be Johnny Newton. I just think he's such a special player. And for him to fall out of the first round, it kind of blows my mind. But Snyder, I do have to run here. But we will be back maybe tonight on Twitter Spaces to talk about what the Bears. Done in day two. I will also be on ONTAP Sports live stream to kind of talk about the draft. Probably a similar conversation that we just had.
That sounds
You guys can
good.
catch me there. But until we meet again, y'all, keep it real. Bear down.
Bear down.